Hey y'all, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Why Don't We Talk About This podcast. I'm your host, Paula McMillan Perez, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist. On today's episode, I am about to be really honest with y'all. Not that I'm ever another way, but this one impacted me. Some of you may or may not know that there was a very significantly large cyber attack on the Change Healthcare platform on February 21st. And it has impacted and continues to impact till this day and probably well beyond a variety of different individuals for different reasons. You might not know, so I'll give a little bit of background. Totally fine. Change Healthcare is basically a really large provider. So healthcare being in the name, you kind of get where I'm going with this. And as, you know, a psychotherapist, while this didn't impact me as much as some other individuals, it has been significantly impactful. So basically, they are a provider of revenue and payment cycle management. I know that sounds like really busy, but basically what it does is connect payers, providers, and patients. So basically all of the three things that you need in the triangle that make up the U.S. healthcare system. Right. So in addition to that, you may be thinking about doctors, therapists like myself, but are you also thinking about like actual hospitals that perform medical procedures or outpatient care centers, ambulatory care centers that do same day surgery? Are you thinking about pharmacies that are providing medications to people, not just for maintenance of care, but things that need to be pre-authorized, otherwise they not cutting those pills? All of those things had been completely shut down because allegedly an organization known as ALFV or Black Cat, basically they cyber hacked or it's not that. I'm sorry. That's not the term. They introduced ransomware. I could be using the wrong terminology here because it changes. But basically part of the struggle here is that as a result of this ransomware attack, nothing has been able to move forward. And Change Healthcare pretty much had to shut down everything because typically what happens with ransomware attacks is some type of malware is introduced. It encrypts the data that Change Healthcare has. And so it's inaccessible. They can't use it for anything until the ransom gets paid. Now, Change Healthcare is owned by, United Health Group. I'm just making sure that I have the correct information because I know y'all gonna fact check me, as you should. United Health Group actually owns Change Healthcare. And part of the struggle here is that even though there has not been any information that actually confirms whether or not they paid the alleged $22 million in Bitcoin, another thing that has yet to be confirmed is what data has now been floating around the dark web. Most likely, it is PHI, aka personal health information, and that can include anything, y'all. That's not just your health information, which is protected by HIPAA, but in this case, it is not. It's your demographic information, your address, maybe pictures of you. It could also include your social security number. And part of the major beef, I have several beefs with this, is that nobody's really saying anything about it. I found out about this on the 22nd of February, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to make like major news outlets because this is something that's literally crippling the country. That was not the case. I think the first time that I saw anything about it was maybe one or two articles in smaller publications online the week after, which I think is a travesty. But the bigger travesty is the fact that this happened, and because it also most likely is going to set a precedent for future attacks. Because as we know, many of us really have several feelings, gripes, are disconcerted with the healthcare system in this country for a variety of different reasons, whether it is through our own personal experience, cultural things of that nature. So it makes it really challenging to think that, you know what, this is literally the largest attack that has happened that has impacted healthcare. And this very well may set a precedent for future attacks, because historically, what happens with these entities who go about these ransomware attacks, the funds that they get from the ransom usually goes to fund future attacks. Now, I'm not gonna lie, there was a small part of me before I was better informed used to think, well, how come these people don't ever attack like the student loan companies and wipe out all our debt? There is a reason for that. I know y'all want to chime in right now, or you may be having some feelings, but the benefit here is not, it is not what the regular layperson would identify. I do not identify. I know several individuals who were not able to get their much needed medication. I have been reading about this and doing research to make sure that I'm bringing you the most up-to-date information, though things do change. And one of the things that, you know, was really jarring to me was the fact that there were medical procedures that were held up because even though the pre-authorization was put in, there was no way to process it. There was no way to verify it. In addition, many mental health providers like myself who may own small and or large group practices, I will say that Personalize Your Therapy and our team has not been as impacted as some of our colleagues across the country. But there are individuals that I know personally, colleagues of mine, who have had to lay off employees because they are not getting the reimbursements for the services that they already rendered in order to make payroll. There are group practice owners who are not even able to pay themselves their salary for the role that they play because they're making sure to the best of their ability that they're able to pay their staff. In addition to that, there are several pharmacies that were not able to process new medication, renewals for medication. And as you very well may know, there are a variety of individuals that take medication for maintenance who, if they miss a pill, that can very well jeopardize their treatment or jeopardize their recovery. It's very, I'm not going to keep saying jarring. I'm just trying not to curse a whole hell of a lot on this podcast. But like, let's be real. On average, Change Healthcare processes about 13 billion claims a year. There were news outlets that I was reading on that says that they may average 13 or more billion dollars. Billion. So this is saying something. You know, everything gets transmitted electronically now. So unfortunately, that has made the shift to try to make a workaround or a DIY solution very hard. For individuals, doctors' offices, therapy practices, whether it's psychotherapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, now have to hand write and submit claims. There are a few other, clearinghouses. Those of us who are providers that submit claims for billing will use a clearinghouse, which falls underneath the guise of Change Healthcare. And there are some that are willing to take electronic claims. But as a result of this, everything is slow. People are still not getting paid. It is my, based on my research, one of the things that I did learn is that today, as I am recording this on March 18th, one of the things that has been identified is there's going to be a slow rollout in terms of restoration, that United Healthcare Group has been able to identify that they are working on. Now, keep in mind, this is what they put out only most recently because they wasn't saying much, but they have not talked about what data has been breached. They're not talking about the fact that they've actually paid this organization $22 million, most likely because it's going to end up in lawsuits, but they're focusing on the investigation. So in terms of updates, what we now know, based on the information that has been provided by United Health Group with reference to updates, is that pharmacy services, so if there are electronic prescribing, which is what we've all known to grow and love, if you old school like me, you remember when your doctor used to actually write on a prescription of a piece of paper and you had to physically go to the pharmacy. So electronic prescribing is now back to being fully functional with claim submission and payment transmission available as of today. Now, this is what they're reporting. I do not actually know if this is true. So I would love for some of my Thera friends out there to respond in comments, on Instagram, email me, whatever have you, because I would love to post an update about this because, again, it has impacted so many different people. They've also taken action to ensure that patients can access their medicine in the meantime. And sending them these medications based on the date that's needed. Now, that only falls underneath the guise of the OptumRx pharmacies, which are the pharmacies associated with United Health Group. It is possible that other pharmacies, maybe the larger commercial ones, like such as Walgreens, CVS, may be participating. But if you have a local neighborhood pharmacy, I would encourage you to follow up and see if this also applies to you. Because at times, the rollout tends to go with the larger organizations and the smaller ones have to play catch up and wait and be patient. In terms of the payment platform, it is stating that the electronic payment functionality will be available for connection beginning March 15th. Again, I do not know if this is actually accurate. This is just the information that was put out as part of their press release. With respect to medical claims, they begin to expect to test and reestablish connectivity for the claims network and software on March 18th, which is today. Restoring service through that week. So that's the expectation. They're not saying it has started, and most likely because that piece is not going to go well right away, it is going to require some finesse and some patience. In addition, part of the struggle there is that there's still the recommendation that providers and payer clients use applicable workarounds that they've established. Now, I briefly mentioned some of those workarounds, but it is not feasible. And this is someone that has worked in mental health clinics where I've had over 30 cases. Sometimes you're responsible for your own billing and submission of claims, and sometimes there's a whole different department for that. Regardless to whether it's you as an individual or a billing department or a billing team, it is not feasible. It is not realistic. The admin work that goes into being a provider, whether it's a medical, mental health, is enormous. Now, I always felt like it was a lot, but when I opened up this therapy practice, y'all, I learned today. And I continue to learn every day, which is another reason that this is so upsetting to me. And then I think about us providers of color, our Black and brown communities who are already struggling to break down the stigma of mental health and ensure that we are providing as much equity access as we can to these communities, as well as making sure that we have supportive services and accessibility to engage with all communities, are now put in a place where we have to do more work, DIY things, and hope and pray that we're going to be able to take care of the needs of not just our clients, but of ourselves and our families. The impact is enormous, and not to say that it is on the same level as a pandemic, but let's be real. There are many of us who will continue to have some struggles after the quarantine, after the world, quote unquote, opening back up, being able to reintegrate into society, being able to be around people. There are things that reverberate, and because that is such a large thing that everyone knows, that's the only reason I use it as an example. Some of y'all are like, y'all, we talking about this pandemic again? Like, that's real. But I cannot think of something that has been as impactful at a larger scale. So this is something that impacts nationally. But as we know, things like, you know, the stock market, they impact globally. We don't know if this may have indications or reverberations in other countries. That is yet to be seen. But part of the reason that I felt that it was important to talk about this is because, again, this is not something that has been showing up. This is not something that's in the news outlets. I have seen maybe two people in my personal, no, one in my personal, one in my professional network who made mention of this on social media. This is something that impacts us all. Now, those of us who are able-bodied and healthy, I am not one of them, unfortunately, may not have even felt it. But those of us who may go to regular doctor's appointments and have several therapeutic visits may not have even noticed that there was a problem unless we were trying to get a pre-authorization, unless we were trying to fill a prescription, unless we were trying to get approval for a surgery or get funding for a surgery. Or even if you are a potential client trying to reach out for services and you're feeling frustrated that the individual that you spoke to at the office is saying that they're still waiting for your benefits to be verified. That's legit. I literally, hands to God, have been trying to verify benefits for a potential client for over a week. Now, I knew that it was going to be crazy to even make the attempt to do it electronically, which you cannot as a result of this. But realistically, even calling and being on hold, going through the automated system, being put back on hold, and then to be told by the representative, call back tomorrow, knowing full well it is not as easy as call back tomorrow because your whole system is down. But you're instructed not to say that because then that may actually be confirming information that we all have been speculating. So this is my attempt to not get super high on my soapbox and to come at you with facts and information. I definitely do encourage you to do some research on this because unfortunately it is my fear that this is not going to be the last time that this happens. For individual providers and folks that are working in smaller group practices, larger group practices, I'm not necessarily sure if your teams have been having frank conversations with you. Maybe some of you are in places that have been able to have the amount of financial security in their business where, you know, an impact of shutdown for reimbursement of claims is not going to impact payroll or is not going to impact day-to-day function. But the vast majority, unfortunately, it will. So I think one of the things that could be helpful for you is some of the information that I've been able to gather from various resources, one of which is Clinicians of Color, which is, I am a member of, and it is an amazing resource. They are putting together, or rather continuing to put together, ongoing efforts to stay on top of this. And one of them is, especially for individual providers, reaching out to the insurance companies who, for the most part, have made rumblings of considering an advance to pay claims. So speak with your provider rep. Part of the struggle there is even if they are considering an advance, it may be a very low paying one. It may not match the rate of reimbursement that you are receiving. However, I think the more of us that advocate for the fact that we need this, this is how we are sustaining, how we are providing for ourselves and our families, can really help. In addition, reaching out to constituent relations, reaching out to your local representatives, county, governor, like let's get it going. Even the insurance commissioner. And I know that this also is like, damn, like she out here telling me to call more people. I'm over here trying to stay on the phone to figure out what's going to happen. Maybe there is a member of your team that you could split this off with. Because this is important. When we blowing up their phones, we're blowing up their email. Sometimes the only reason that people respond and do what we need them to do, or at least engage in a conversation with us, is because we annoy them. Now let's annoy them, but annoy them respectfully. Another thing that people are doing are also exploring another clearinghouse in efforts to still be able to submit electronically. Now, please keep in mind that there are still very significant delays. It was shared with me that one of the best options right now is ClaimsMD. Again, I have not vetted this, but I'm just sharing information for you to do your own research and identify what works best for you. It was noted as one of the best options as of a week ago. Another option is Availity, and Navinet, but one of the chief complaints that I'm seeing about these two clearinghouses is that it requires you to upload information for one client at a time. Now, if you have a practice that has 30 clinicians and each clinician has a caseload of 30, that is really not realistic. So you're going to have to look at different options. And it's really challenging because, again, this is impacting healthcare practices across the country. I can only speak of my experience when it comes to submitting claims from a mental health perspective. But think about all of the possible things that we use insurance for. Even the little things that are covered that, you know, if we are able-bodied and healthy, like I mentioned before, we're not even thinking about. Or maybe those of us who are not well-versed in insurance and aren't aware of what our benefits are and how all, hopefully, all-encompassing they can be. So it can be really challenging to figure it out. And to be perfectly honest with you, especially those of you who either are currently engaged in therapeutic services or actively have been looking for a therapist, you already know how hard it has been to identify a provider that takes your insurance. That is a whole different episode. I definitely encourage you to go back into our podcast listing because it is something that I have talked about in the past. But the meat of it is, for those of you who haven't listened to those episodes, that reimbursement is very low in contrast to the hourly, I guess, rates that clinicians should be receiving after graduate degrees, years of supervision, additional training. It doesn't match up. And let's be real, inflation being what it is, you go to the grocery store, sometimes you spending $100 and maybe you get four things depending on where you live. It's rough out here in these streets. So that's part of the reason for that. And honestly, if it's maybe a month, the amount of times I see individuals who really want to ensure that they are meeting the needs of their community and they're creating more equitable care by taking insurance so individuals can afford to pay for services through the usage of their copay or hopefully no copay if they have a really good plan, but they're not able to sustain because they can't afford it in reimbursement and they decide to go private pay that most people cannot afford. So the trauma is now increasing both on the potential client side or current client side and also on the provider side. So these are all things that kind of come into play here. And I'm not going to hold y'all hostage and talk about all of the things that come into play here. But these are also themes that make it really hard to decolonize therapy, which is what a lot of providers are trying to do, regardless of their race, culture, creed, ethnicity, because they have identified that the system that we have now is not supporting healing. And sometimes, and some of you have heard this and or felt this, that sometimes our health insurance companies and our systems, they don't want us to heal because there's no money in that. There is no benefit in that. But we know better. We, at least, I'm giving us the benefit of the doubt as a community because I do believe that we do. So part of us doing that is advocating for ourselves and our needs and hopefully doing what I'm doing right now, which is giving you the information. So even if this isn't your vibe and you're like, okay, she's out here talking about all of this stuff. If I've made it to this point in the podcast, maybe I could tell somebody that I know that would benefit from the information. Maybe a social work or a counseling student so that they know that these are things that can possibly impact them. How do they become better informed? Maybe a current provider who works at a practice and doesn't know the nuance of what they might need to do if they're getting ready to go out on their own. Knowledge really is power. Some people find it dangerous. I find it empowering. So that's always going to be the lens that I'm from. I am going to include a few sources of information in the show notes. And I do encourage you to reach out to either me or anyone else in your network should you want to talk this through. Because again, this has activated people in several different ways, and we are a community, and community takes care of each other. Until next time. The Why Don't We Talk About This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is hosted by me, Paula McMillan-Perez, and is produced by Fonzie Tri Media.